If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6 this morning and Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to change the series this morning. I'm going to a little different topic this morning. And just as we look around the world today, the world's fast falling apart. There is a movement, and I believe that the Antichrist is behind it, the one world government that he will be running to close in Israel, to silence the Christians. And there's a big pressure today for churches and Christians to compromise on the Bible. It's a lot of pressure out there today. Even in our fundamental churches today, there is much compromise going on. Now, not in all, thank God, but in many. And we need Christians that will stand true, that belong to churches that are standing true, that have preachers who are staying true. America needs that. In Jeremiah 6, in verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." Father, as we go into your word this morning, Lord, we need to return to the old paths. We need to still cling to the old paths. We need to keep believing the old paths. It's the only way we can go as we seek your blessing upon our lives, upon our church, upon our nation. Lord, we're living in a day of compromise, a day of darkness, a day when wicked men seem to be triumphing. And if there ever was a time for Christians to stand true to your word and stand up and be counted, show that our faith and trust is in you, no matter what is popular or unpopular, Lord, I believe we're living in that day. So stir my heart today, stir the hearts of those that are here. Lord, I ask you today to cleanse me, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to use me as a vessel of honor, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor you, Father, to honor your word. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The old paths, God said, ask for them. The ways when Israel had walked with the Lord. You know, America was founded as a Christian nation, and there was a time when the Bible was the rule of our land. And churches were even the community halls, the town centers, where the meetings took place in towns. You've come a long way since then. God said in verse 17, "I set a watchman over you." Watchmen being the preachers, so to speak, that are declaring the Bible. They're sounding the trumpet. They're sounding the warning of God's word to what's coming. But we see in verse 16 and verse 17, the people no longer wanted to hear it. They wanted to heap themselves to teachers that have itching ears, 2 Timothy chapter 4 says. They wanted to be entertained. They wanted to be amused. They didn't want to be confronted. They didn't want to be convicted. Christians who were standing true didn't want to be ridiculed, didn't want to be persecuted, didn't want to seem like they were strange or weird or the oddball or fanatical. But you hear me, if we don't soon do it, we're going to lose a lot more than we've already lost. I want you to preach this morning on why I still believe in the old path. Why I still believe in the old path. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. The devil is a master deceiver. He's a father of lies. He blinds folks to the truth. He gets them involved in things and then tries to sear their heart or scar their conscience and tries to get them to turn away from that which they once knew to be true in the Word of God. The Bible calls that backslide. When you once knew a truth and you clung to it and you believed it and you preached it and you taught it and you walk away from it, that is backsliding. That is a backslider in heart. And our churches today and our pulpits today have a lot of that going on them. And we need to make that turn back. We need to hearken when God speaks to us. Let it not be said of us that He spoke to us and that we would not hearken. The devil is going to try and play the counter rule. He's going to try and get you not to hearken. He's going to try and get you to reason things out in your own mind. He's going to try and get you to doubt the Word of God. That's how He did with Eve back in the Garden of Eden. His question to Eve was, "Hath God said?" He begins by putting a question mark on what God said in your mind. Ephesians 6 tells us, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the deceiving, the lies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Every Christian needs to take the whole armor of God if we're going to stand true to the old paths in the day in which we live. If we forget any portion of the armor, that leaves us vulnerable to attack. It leaves us vulnerable to having to retreat. It leaves us open to compromise. And that is not good for the church. It is not good for the Christian. It will bring God's curse upon our families, upon our churches, and upon our nation. And we're seeing that today in America right now, folks. We are. And if there's hope for America, it's that God's people would return to the old path. They were preaching the pulpits. They were stood strong for it just a few decades ago. But every decade, more and more seem to be left behind. Church has become more of an entertainment place, a social club, a place of convenience, a place of when I'm in trouble I'll go to, but not the place that God meant it to be. We come to worship Him, to serve Him, and to launch the gospel from the church. It is a launching pad for missionaries, for evangelists, for pastors, for all types of ministries out of the local church. When you return to this Bible and the principles and the standards and the commandments that God has given us, I still believe in those. We should not compromise. We have the authority of God's Word that we stand upon. I know right now popular tide is not in favor of that. I know that as we do that, I know as a Christian, even long before I was in the ministry, when I took those stands, I suffered ridicule. I had folks didn't like it. As a pastor, I've had folks leave because I wouldn't change things. I've had folks upset with me. I've had folks thinking I'm strange and weird. But folks, I cannot change until the Word of God changes. I cannot change unless God changes. And God is unchangeable. Number one, I still believe in the old time paths because God, my God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the founder and author of the old time paths. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the author. He's the finisher. He has not changed. He will not change. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, yet the same yesterday and today and forever. In Psalms 90, 1 and 2, a prayer of Moses, the man of God, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, whoever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Do we still believe that? Then we must still believe His Word. We must still take it as He gave it to us, without compromise, without apology, speaking with authority on God's Word. Psalms 103, verse 13 through 18. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children's children, and to such as keep His covenant, and those that remember His commandments to do them. You know what God's looking for children to do? To come back to His book and remember what His commandments were. He still expects His children to honor His name by obeying His Word. We are to be a light in a dark world. We are to be a testimony. And we can only do that to the best effectiveness we can have is when we remember His commandments to do them. Remember, they came from God. He's the author. His Word is a holy book. The only book in the world that is infallible. The only book in the world that is powerful enough to change lives, to redeem souls. The book that will bring blessing upon our life if we will heed it, or a curse upon our life if we reject it. And so we must come to God as the one who is the author, the founder, the finisher of our faith. And we must believe in Him as much today as we ever did. There should be a revival amongst us to say, thus saith the Lord. And thus will we believe. And thus will be evident by our works. Number two, I still believe in the old paths because the Word of God is the basis for the old paths. In Psalm 119, 105, this verse is important. You'll not get the importance of the path without this verse. Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The devil likes to keep you out of the Word of God, or even when you're reading it, to distract your mind. He likes to get you to focus it. Not, and if you're reading it, okay, read it, but don't apply it. Don't absorb it. Don't meditate upon it. Don't memorize it. Don't put it into practice. He wants to get you off the path. And without the Word of God, you have no light to find the paths. You must be in the Bible. You must heed the Bible to still believe and to still walk in the old time paths. If you lay your Bible aside, you lay the light aside. And you begin to walk a trail of darkness. you may still think you're on the right trail. The devil will give you a false light to make you think that. And the Word of God is the one that will straighten you out. In fact, Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Get back to the old path, in other words. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Psalm 119, verse 8 and 9. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's forever settled. It's not going to change. It doesn't matter what any country changes. It doesn't matter what any preacher changes. It doesn't matter what any church changes. God's word does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In John 1:1, He is the Word. It is unchangeable. It will not change. God even holds His Word in a higher esteem than He does His name. His Word is what we need to come back to. His Word is what America needs to return, but America won't until the preachers, the churches, and the Christians do. The foundation is being destroyed. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to begin restoring that foundation. "For the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen? We need to come back to that. In Romans 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And of course, James tells us, faith without works is dead. If you want your faith to have works, if you want to have the right kind of faith, you have to come to the Word of God and put your faith, your trust, your life in its hands. Even when it means the world's going to turn on you. In fact, if it keeps going the way it is in America and they keep pushing things at us, there may be a very near future when preachers may have jail ministries for the stand they take in America. But that doesn't mean we should compromise just to stay out of jail. Doesn't mean we should compromise just to keep them from trying to attack our church and shut it down. Doesn't mean we should compromise just to keep ourselves in our jobs or okay in the community. My God, take care of us. Just like Elijah by the book Cherith. He'll take care of us. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. A familiar verse we've gone over, but listen to it again. The importance of the Word of God. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Pick any topic you want out there today. Any doctrine you want. And the only way you can know for sure it's right is if you go to the Scriptures and you study it and you search it and you get it from God's Word. You come before God and you ask God to show you the light. You may ask others for some counsel in the Scriptures, and you get alone with the Word of God, and you get it settled in your heart with the Word of God, and you don't let go of it. You preach it, you live it. Over there in chapter 3 at verse 15, "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." People today don't want that kind of preaching. They don't want you, and when you go to counsel someone and talk to someone and you give them counsel, they don't want that kind of counsel. They want to be told, do whatever you want. If you feel good about it, it's okay. If it's what you want to do, then do it. But the question is it what God wants from our lives? Is it the stand that God wants us to take? Is it a scriptural? Do I need to correct myself in this area? Do I need to reprove someone in this area? And that's not popular today. "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now verse 15 leads me into my third point. "And that my child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." See, I still believe the old path because salvation is the only old path that works. There's only one type of salvation. Salvation is not in churches. It is not in religions. It is in believing on, calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins, to cleanse our hearts, to take over in our lives, and to make us a child of God. It is the only one that works. 1 Peter 1 verse 18, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Hebrews 5 verse 9, "And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him." Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is any other name among heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." John 14 verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Today a lot of folks think because they're involved in a church or they're religious that they're going to be okay. And the Pharisees were involved in the temple and the synagogue. The Pharisees were religious. You know, our Lord told them they were white as sepulchres, full of dead men's bones. The chief priests and the scribes were religious, but they were lost. Cornelius in Acts was a just man, a devout man, one that feared God, but he was lost. He had to come by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the only way that anyone can be brought to salvation. And that must remain our message. And we must preach the Christ of the Bible, not the Christ that the world has in their movies today out there. If you go to these Hollywood movies that are out there, find the Christ of the Bible. Don't just go to what some church says. Find the Christ of the Bible. Search the Scriptures. Make sure you got the right thing, the right salvation, the right Lord, Jesus Christ. As we've been preaching the last number of weeks, examine yourselves, whether it be in the faith. Make sure you got it straight. In Matthew 11, He says, our Lord said, in verse 28, "Come unto Me." Me meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one you can come to for salvation. "All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light." In John 6, verse 35, as Jesus confronted the religious crowd that was rejecting Him, and Jesus said unto them in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen Me and believe not. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent Me, that all of which He hath given Me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent Me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." My friend, you hear me? The old time salvation, this Bible, is still the only one that ever has worked or ever will work. Way back in Genesis 3:15, God told Adam and Eve He would send the Savior. And the entire Bible points to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, the only one that can take away the sin of the world. And the world being every man, woman, boy and girl that ever comes into this world. We must come to Him. And when we come to Him for salvation, we must accept Him for who He is according to the Bible. That means we must accept His Bible. We must stand on it. It's the old time path. We need to ask God again in America, in our pulpits, in our churches, in our homes. God, give us the old time path. Return us to the old paths. Seek and ask for the old paths. If we don't, destruction is on the agenda. But God would much rather restore when His children return. Salvation is of the Lord. You see, one of the things we must preach that men are lost by their own choice. We are born into sin, but we choose to sin. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Today, people want to think that they've got some value. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing good that dwells in us. With Him, we are a new creature. You see, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Men don't want to think about their depravity, about their wickedness. They want to think that, well, I'm not as bad as others are. I'm not this bad. But you understand, God compares no man to any other man. He compares him to himself. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the only way one can be made holy is bringing that sin before God, confessing it, and asking Him to forgive it by believing in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God that went to the cross to give His life, His blood, a ransom for all. Romans 5, verse 8, but God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the only hope we have is that God loved us and sent His Son to become sin for us, He who knew no sin. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no one else you can get it but from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been preaching this for the last several weeks in our messages, but let me remind you again what true belief is. Romans 10, verse 9 to 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. They will not back down. They will believe what God said. For there is no difference in the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never find salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. We give our lives to Him. We confess our sin. We put our faith in Him. And if He'll have us, and He'll forgive us, which He promised He would if we came to Him, He will cleanse us and we become His property. We belong to Him. That's good news because that means we belong to the Father and we're going to heaven. But my friend, in this day and age, if you preach this Bible and if you take strong scriptural stands, you're not going to be popular. You're definitely going to have to be a disciple that's willing to carry your cross. Because you will be ridiculed. It will cost you on the job. It will cost you in the neighborhood. It may even cost you in your home. Your own families may not agree with you. But you must stand before God and do that which is right. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is where we are at today in the world. And I'm telling you, if you still believe in the old time paths, if you still believe in the old paths, then you've got to take heed to what 2 Timothy 4 says. Paul speaking to Timothy, the first pastor in Ephesus, that Paul is going to turn over to Timothy. He's hand-groomed Timothy. He's trained Timothy. And now he's turned it over to him. And Paul knows he's very shortly leaving this world. And he gives Timothy one last counsel about staying true to the old path. In verse number 1 of 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. What's He going to judge us for? Here you find it in verse 2. Preach the Word! Be instant in season when it's popular, when everybody likes it. Out of season when you're the oddball and you're being ridiculed and persecuted. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. God says, believe the right thing, teach the right thing, preach the right thing, live the right thing. You see, he says in the last days here, and chapter 3 tells us that in verse 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're in the last days. And he says, even in the church, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He's speaking here of the church. And today, my friend, you hear me, the churches today, by the droves, are walking away from sound doctrine. But after their own lust, people themselves teachers, having itching ears. They want to be entertained. They want to be amused. They want to have their they want you to tickle their fancy. They want to hear stories. They want to make them cry with emotional stories. They want to hear all this kind of stuff. But don't confront them with the Word of God that changes lives. Don't go to meddling and saying, thus saith the Lord, and hitting the sin that's in their lives. Don't preach on sin. Don't call it out. Try and reach them without preaching on sin, and you can't do it. If they don't realize they're sinners, the Lord can't help them. He came to call sinners, not the righteous, to repentance. They must be confronted. And the church, we can't be confronted to turn if we don't realize we've gone away. We must preach it. He says, itch in the ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now let me ask you, who's the author of the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the author of fables, the lies? The devil's the father of lies. Which one do you want to be known for following? That's why I still believe the old path. I want to follow the one that's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want to follow the truth. But watch thou. There's the watchman right there. But watch thou. That's the watchman. To stand true. But watch thou in all things. Endure affliction, because when you preach the right stuff, when you teach the right stuff, when you live the right stuff, when you take the right stand, you're going to have affliction. You're not going to go out looking for it, but it's going to find you. Just because when you live right, you put them under conviction, and they want to get rid of that guilty conscience, and they think if they silence you, they can feel less guilty. They don't want to be confronted. But you must confront them if you're going to win them. You must confront a backslider if you're going to see them return. So we must watch down all things, be a watchman, endure afflictions through the work of an evangelist. Preach the word, in other words. Evangelist, preach the gospel, the right one. Make full proof of thy ministry. Guard your testimony, but also remember one day you give an account to God for your life. And your life is a ministry. You're ministering to God, you're ministering to the saints, you're ministering to your family. You're going to give an account. You are a missionary. Once you get saved, you are automatically a missionary. You're supposed to go out and tell the world what Christ did for you. You do that at work. You do it at home. You do it in your communities. And if God calls you to a mission field, you do it there, to a foreign field. But you are a missionary. Make full proof of your ministry. Make sure that when you stand before God, you stay true to the old paths. If you don't, you may get along better with folks down here, but your father's not going to be happy when you see him. He'll show you the damage you did when you compromised. Oh, men will applaud you. They'll pat you on the back and they'll think, boy, isn't he kind? He always makes me feel so good. But if you're not helping them spiritually, no matter how they feel, we must help them. Pray for them, love them, but stand true in the Word. Men, without compromise, having done all, in Ephesians it says, stand. Jeremiah 6, let me read that to you again in closing. Jeremiah 6 and 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon his people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor unto my law, but rejected it. Let it not be said of us this morning that we didn't hearken. Let it not be said of us that we rejected God's word and the preaching of it, but that we received it, we searched it, we studied it, and we heeded it. We are the hope of America. If we take the right stand on God's word, if we preach the truth, if we stand on the truth, it will not be popular, but it is the only hope that America and the world has. It is the only hope for the church ever to gain strength and ground again in this present world. It is the only hope as a believer to reach your family and your friends for Christ. It's the only hope you have of finishing the race successfully. We want to, don't we? We want to. The choice is up to every one of us. They would not hearken. That was a personal choice on each person's part. It only takes a few to hearken for God to take notice. He would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous souls. That's all it would have taken. Israel didn't get to go in the promised land for 40 years beyond what they could have, except for Joshua and Caleb, because they hearkened. All those that refused did not get to go in. Their children did, but not them. Moses, when he didn't hearken and smote the rock twice, was able to see the promised land, but not enter it. You hear me? God means what He says, folks. If He doesn't keep His word, then He was not truthful. He lied, and God is not a liar. Amen? He must keep His word. And so we must come to His word, and we must search it out and say, what does it say? The church's mission is to go into the world and reach the lost. The Great Commission. But go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We must stay focused on that. We must teach them salvation. We must baptize them and teach them all things that He has commanded. Amen? And that's where we must stand as a church. If we're going to reach our community and our nation. And I pray you'll stand there with us on that. I pray that you'll be determined that you're going to walk in the old path. That if you're not sure what it is, you'll see and ask God for the old path. You will ask Him for that wisdom. James 1 verse 5, He promised you He'd answer if you'd ask for that wisdom. We must seek. Father, I pray now, Lord, as we go to the invitation, that you stir the hearts, that the altar would be full of your children coming forth this morning asking for the old paths, asking for your help to stay in the old paths, confirming that they still believe the old path with you. That there is hope for us to reach our community, our families, our nation. It's in the old paths that you have laid out in your word. Oh, I pray they'd come. If there's a lost soul under the sound of my voice here this morning, I pray that now as they've been confronted with their sin, they think of your holiness, now you're going to require an account of them, that today they'd come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe and call upon His name. Father, we have counselors here ready with Bibles in hand. We will show them from your word what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. They can be redeemed. forgiven today, be made a child of yours, if they'll walk the aisle and let it be known they have that need. Father, bless the invitation. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.